Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrella Palatial right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just dropped off a little bag of that Zirculi Indica, and she wanted to know if I wanted to have a fatty before I went on the air. I said I couldn't do it, but she was drinking JMO, so I didn't want to mess with her in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, the red traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess this town's tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh. What's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. He's very upset tonight because the Bills laid an egg in Smashville against the COVID-tainted Titans. 42-16, a Tennessee blowout over the previously undefeated Bills. I said today on Coast to Coast earlier on Sports Grid TV that I felt, you know, I was on the Bills too. I thought they'd, you know, beat the Titans, who haven't played in forever and had all those problems and all those guys out and all their issues. And I just thought the Bills would go in there and roll. And it was the exact opposite. The Titans killed him, and I did say today, just as easily, the Bills, who a lot of people think could be, you know, win tonight and then win against the Chiefs Monday night, that they'd be 5-0. And I said on the show today, and Carver High is my witness, I said, look, they could just as easily drop both games and be 3-2. And I'm here to tell you, the team I watched tonight, now, I don't think that there's anything wrong with the Bills. But tonight, they definitely did not look good. And if they play even remotely like that against Kansas City at home in Buffalo on Monday night, they'll lose that game too, sure as I'm sitting here. Because they had more mistakes than you could shake a stick at tonight in Tennessee.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Our Ferrell Events later, Rick Caro in this hour on Sports Business, and we'll get him in. I have to tell you that it was 7-0 Braves, and after Swanson hit a ground rule double to deep right that Betts couldn't get to, and it jumped over the wall, Darnot scored, Albies went to third, it was 7-0, and then in the bottom of the seventh, Seager homers to left center. A three-run shot. It was 7-3. Then Albies homered in the ninth to make it 8-3. He hit a bomb to center field, 426 feet off of Kolarik. And then in the bottom of the ninth now with this Tomlin pitching, Seager doubles to right. Betts scores because Betts had singled. Then Seager doubled and Betts scored. It was 8-4. And then Muncy hit a two-run bomb to right. Seager scored. It's 8-6 now. They finally yanked Tomlin and they brought in the closer, Melanson. The thing that bothered me about it was Tomlin, when he gave up the home run, he was like smiling, like laughing on the mound. Like he couldn't, I guess, believe it. And he was, you know, thinking, I cannot believe that I just gave up that two-run homer. Maybe he was thinking about the run he gave up before that, or the single, or the double, or the home run, whatever it was. He was smiling, and like, it was like he was laughing, like it was funny or something. And I'm going, wait a minute, dude, are you serious right now? You're getting lit up, and you're blowing this game. Now, it's 8-6, Braves on top with two outs, bottom of the ninth. Melanson, 0-1 count on Smith, the catcher, now 0-2. They need a strike or an out to end the game, but they were up 7-0, you understand? And now it's 8-6. So what did they F around with this? I mean, honestly, you got to close the door when you're up 7-0. Close the door on these bums and get it over with. There's a grounder. Albies bobbles it and he's safe. Oh my God. Albies with the error at second. Are you kidding me? A routine ground ball. They're choking. This is insanity. Are you watching this, Carver High? I mean, this is crazy. Like, now they got
put on the Ray game. I thought that was over, so I threw the Ray game on the other TV, and now I'm going to go and, of course, I'm going to switch over, and it'll probably be end, and I'll do all this for nothing, but I'm going to turn it on now.
Well, he just hit a ground ball, a routine ground ball to Albies, and he booted it. And he absolutely bobbled it twice, and the runner was safe. So now, an easy ending inning ground ball, game over. The game was over. Now watch Bellinger hit a two-run homer. Watch. I mean, they just opened the door for him with the error. You wouldn't be surprised, would you, if he hit a two-run homer?
I hope he does.
Why do you hope that?
Because I have the Dodgers. I don't want the Dodgers going down 0-2.
So you just want like a better series or something?
I have the Dodgers to win the World Series. Big ticket on the Dodgers. So if they go down 0-2, I'm not going to be thrilled. So
how much can that ticket be worth when they're the favorites?
Well, I got them after they lost game one, so it went up to plus 220.
Oh, so that's not that bad. There it is. He drove it deep into the corner. That's going to score the run. It's going to be 8-7 now. This is unbelievable, and he'll get a double out of this, and they'll have the tying run at second base. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me that I'm watching this. This, you know what'll happen? Here's what'll happen. If they blow this game with Bellinger doubling now in the run, if they blow this game, they'll never recover from it. You know that, right? They were up 7-0. I turned the channel. I couldn't take it anymore. It was so boring. And then I watched the Bills get stuffed. And then I turned on the Rays. I come back to this game, and I've watched this absolute bloodletting. This is unbelievable. And you can blame, Tomlin for his crappy pitching. And you can blame Albies for the error on a routine ground ball, like literally the easiest ground ball he's seen all year, right to his glove. And he bobbled it and twice, and the runner, Smith, was safe. Now Bellinger's driven him in, and now it's just a matter of a second before this game's tied. You know they're going to tie it. Pollock's up now. I mean, can you even believe it? Do you think for 1 minute that they're seriously, do you think they're going to tie the game? Or win the game?
I mean, anything's possible now. This is it. A base hit ties the game. So AJ Pollock up in a big spot here. I think he does it. Let's go. Let's go.
I just cannot believe that you blow a 7-0 lead. How is that even possible in a championship series game two? How do you blow a two? There's the ground ball to third. Game over. They had it all along in the bag. No problem. This
was
easy.
They had it in the bag.
You knew they'd win. I mean, there was never a doubt. I never once thought for 1 minute that they would blow this game ever. Hold on. Let me change my underwear. I'll be right with you. After all of that, it's even better. Now, your ticket's still alive, so let's not get carried away. You got to win four games. But I still think they have a shot in this series for sure. And I'm just going to say that you're up 7-0. You got to win the game. And so they should have won the game. They did win the game, 8-7. But I got to tell you, after climbing all the way back and getting that double and having the winning run at the plate and having the tying run at second, I think it hurts even worse for the Dodgers. I really do. I think it hurts them even worse to know that they just came back. Both teams had 10 hits in the game. And it turns out that Matzik gets the win, Gonsolin the loser, Melanson the save, 8-7. Braves win it, up 2-0 in the NLCS. They were up 7-0. They win the game 8-7 as they let the Dodgers come all the way back. But to come all the way back and then lose that way, right there, and having the winning run at home plate and the tying run at second, I think it hurts even worse. I'd rather lose 7-0 than to come all the way back and still lose. You know what I mean? Like, how do you feel about that, Carver?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's hard. Here's the one thing I'll say. You're right. It's probably better sometimes when you lose 7-0. But now they've seen they've been very quiet with the bats. So maybe that springboards them a little bit tomorrow. Okay, let's go. Let's get hot. We did it at the end of last game. We came up just short. Let's start swinging here. And maybe they come out tomorrow and swing the bats a little better.
All right, so here we are in the Rays-Astros in the fifth. One out, fly out to center. Urquidy's pitching great. It's 1-0 Astros. And the only time I saw the Rays threatening, they had runners on the corners with two outs. No, they had the bases loaded. They ended up loading the bases, and then Perez struck out. So everyone's talking about it now. Braves survive. The Braves survive. I guess you could look at it that way if you really want to, or you could look at it realistically, which is Braves lead the Dodgers 2-0 in the NLCS. They're two wins away from the World Series. And so there's five games left, and the Dodgers have to win four of them. Right? I mean, that's the bottom line. They got to win four of five, which I think they're very capable of doing. Anything could happen. But you can't tell me, Carver High, that the Braves aren't in their heads, because they have torn the cover off the ball and they've gotten great pitching. I mean, I didn't think the end of that game tonight was great pitching. I thought Tomlin was terrible, and, you know, it is what it is.
And he's not one of their main guys. He's a guy that you bring in when you're winning, you know, 7-0, 8-3. He's the guy that you bring in. So their best arms have been very good in this series.
Well, listen to this. Anderson went four innings, gave up no runs, five walks, five Ks. Matzik, two innings, gave up one hit. O'Day, one-third of an inning, gives up two earned runs. Minter, gets two outs, gives up an earned run. Martin, no runs. Tomlin, three earned runs. He was a disaster, Tomlin. And Melanson closed the door and gave up one run, unearned. So we'll talk to Rick Haro next, our sports business and legal insider from Harvard on a bench.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So we've been reeling off of the Braves 8-7 hold on to your pants win over the Dodgers. They were up 7-0 and blew the lead, basically. All the way in the ninth inning, the Dodgers started scoring runs in droves. They were down. They scored four runs in the ninth. So it was 7-3, then 8-3, and then it was 4-5-6-7. And they had Bellinger at second and the winning run at the plate, but Pollock grounded to third. Riley threw over to first, and the Braves won the game. Also, the Bills lost their first game tonight. They got smoked in Nashville. There's really no other way of looking at it. 42-16. The Titans are still unbeaten, and they also lost half of their team to COVID, and they still won. Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid TV and on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on the Bench. And he's calling in this evening from Virginia. And were you able to watch any of the games tonight, like the Dodger game or the Bills game? Or are you watching the Rays, or are you in a like, where are you, in a hotel? Are you at someone's place? Where are you?
In a hotel, watching the Rays, watch the last 2 minutes of the Titans. They look pretty good. Tannehill was never that good with the Dolphins. I don't get it, but that's another story. And then I was listening to the Dodgers, but of course I turned it off like everybody else did at 8-3.
So you gave up when it was 8-3. I gave up when it was 7-0, and I decided I wanted to see if the Bills could come back. And then, because it was like, you know, I think it was, what was it, 24-10, and I thought, or something like that. And I thought, you know, maybe if they score there or something, they could get back in the game. And I don't even, Carver High, was it 24-10? Was that what the lead was built up to?
Yes, 24-10.
I thought they'd come back.
28. I think it was 28.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 28. Yeah, and you're right, because I wanted them to score.
Yeah.
They get 28-17. Then score again. It'd be a four-point game. I thought they could actually do it. But the thing that I noticed tonight about that game, Rick, was the amount of penalties against the Bills that were all deserving. Their offense had a snap count. He called the snap count and caught his guys off guard three or four times where they jumped, and it was a legal procedure. And then I thought the pass interference calls on Norman were all justified, and they just weren't the same team without Ladavius White.
Yeah, all agreed. They were up 28-15, and then for some reason, 28-16, they went for two and missed it. So, you know, sometimes people can't count and they look at those tables and they can't figure it out. And so might that be the first Tuesday night game in a long time, maybe in NFL history? I don't think that's true, but certainly in a long time. So you could say it interrupted their rhythm.
So
23rd, I know why. Hurricane. Right, a hurricane. That's right. That was it, a Dolphin game?
No, it was actually Eagles-Vikings. It was a snowstorm in 2013, and they played a Tuesday night game. And then the one before that was in, like, the 60s or 70s.
Speaking of the 60s. A Dolphin Monday night game that got hurricaned. No, it was a Sunday that was transferred to Monday. Either way, the Dolphins got killed by the Bears, which is a pretty easy thing to understand because other than last week, Dolphins get killed by everybody.
Speaking of 1960, today on Coast to Coast, I pulled out the vintage, which Carver High was very impressed with. I pulled out the vintage picture of Bill Mazeroski hitting me on this date, this very date, October 13th, 1960, 60 years ago, on this very day, in a day game at Forbes Field, in Game 7 of the World Series between the Pirates and Yankees, Mazeroski hit a bottom-of-the-ninth-inning walk-off home run to beat the Yankees 10-9 as the Pirates won the World Series. And I have the picture of the home run swing, the greatest picture you've ever seen in your life. And it's autographed to me from Bill Mazeroski. And my father, the esteemed TR, who passed away, God rest his soul, he was at the game. How about that, Mr. Haro?
That's amazing. And it's 60 years ago. I was going to make some stupid comment about how old you were when you were there, but obviously you weren't. But the Farrell legacy is there. That has to be one of the more, one of the top two, maybe the top baseball moment in the history of Pittsburgh baseball, don't you think?
Well, I think it's the, I would argue it's the greatest home run in the history of baseball, without a doubt. No one's ever hit a bottom of the ninth inning, walk-off, home run to win the World Series. Bottom line, what was the deal, Carver High, with Joe Carter?
Well, the Joe Carter was game six. It was a walk-off, and the Mazeroski was a game seven, right?
Right. This was a game seven. Yep. That's the difference. So it was the only time it's Carter ever happened. It's never happened.
By the way, I was at the Joe Carter game in Toronto where they mistakenly put the Canadian flag upside down, which was, I don't know if you remember that. That was a kind of a bizarre game to be at. And, you remember some stupid stuff. And Joe Carter is infamy, Oklahoma City. He's in the Oklahoma City Sports Hall of Fame. He's like one of the most famous athletes to come out of Oklahoma, this side of Johnny Bench.
What did the people do when the flag was upside down?
They went crazy. It was like, what are you doing? I mean, and then they were, some people would maybe want to stand on their head to make sure the flag was okay. It was just a surreal scene. I was down in kind of the cool seats, and everybody was talking about how this was really bad for baseball. I thought it was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen, but I didn't say that.
Why did that happen? I don't remember any of this because I think smoked weed or something at that time in my life.
Well, but the guy that was putting the flag on the stand also probably smoked weed because, there are these two hooks, right? There's the top hook and the bottom hook. And I guess it's very easy to, when you're not thinking about it, you put the top hook on the bottom hook and the bottom hook on the top hook. And by the time he was raising it, oh, darn. Sure, he didn't say, oh, darn. But, the eyes of Canada were upon him.
Wow. I bet that did not go over well. All right. A quarter of the way through the season, the NFL TV viewership is down 10% from last season. Why is that, Rick?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, I've seen the numbers, and I looked at them. And I also think, listen, there's presidential debates, there are ads, some people are talking about the kneeling, I don't think it's that. But I also think there's dilution in every sport, and when we were thinking about sports coming back in April, we were talking about how the PGA Tour's ratings were blockbuster. Why? Because there's nothing else there. Well, this is the trade-off. This is the other side of that, which is when the NFL plays games, you don't expect them to compete with the finals of the NBA and the finals of the NHL. And, Major League Baseball playoffs. And the answer is there's just a lot on TV. And it's really not a problem because people are watching more. They're staying at home. They're not going to games. Advertisers are getting the big-time rates. And everybody is talking about how the world is coming to an end. I don't think so.
Do you think any of it has to do with that fella on Pennsylvania Avenue abusing you know, athletes from all walks. He's been bashing the NFL and NBA till no end about the flag, about everything. I mean, what hasn't he bashed athletes about? He has been railing on LeBron James, and he's railed on the NFL. And he's railed on him for kneeling, and he's told people, his followers, his lunatic followers, to not watch sports.
Yeah, well, I just, without getting into, I mean, it's obvious how I feel and how you feel, but I'm not sure, no matter what he says, if I'm listening to that and I'm a sports fan, I turn that stuff off and I turn to sports because I want to get away from that. So I don't see that as an issue. A couple of years ago, I heard a lot of carping about kneeling and this is not right and these are employees and all of that. And I think the NFL has done remarkably in creating a process where they're giving money to social causes, bail reform, juvenile justice. I mean, big stuff. And I think we've passed a lot of that. You know, remember the first week this year with the no fans and who kneeled and who didn't. Now we're not showing the national anthem, and if we are, we're not making a big deal out of it. So I don't think it's that. If it was, it was part of week one, and that's gone.
So the Jaguars deal with London is over. It's expired, and they're not going to go back to London. Is that the plan?
Well, they don't know yet, but the bottom line is they were going to have two games at Wembley this year for the first time ever, and they've had a game there every year since 13. And, of course, Shad Khan is an international businessman, and he wanted to be basically London's team and also have the Jacksonville market. Now you're not going to have game this year because of the international COVID issues. And then he says he wants to focus more on seeing whether Jacksonville is a viable NFL market. You know, those words are, if I'm Jacksonville and I hear those words, I get a little nervous. So I'm sure he's turning his sights inward this year. It doesn't help that they're not very good.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't help that they're not good. When we come back, we'll talk about a lot more, including this Rays-Astros series that they're playing at Globe Life in Arlington, which is right across the parking lot, basically from Jerry's World, where everyone knows what happened there on Sunday. Dak Prescott broke his ankle, a compound fracture, and changed the Cowboys' fortunes for the rest of the season. Now Andy Dalton's in charge. But they're playing at this beautiful ballpark, and I'll tell you right now, it's 1-0 in the sixth, and the Rays have a runner at first. All right, Pharrell and Ben, so I screwed up. So the Dodgers and Braves are playing at Globe Life, and the World Series will be at Globe Life. The Astros and Rays are at Petco in San Diego near Tijuana, Tijuana. And I know that, obviously, the Braves are up 2-0 in that series, and they'll play the World Series at Globe Life. And they had the roof open for the games and everything else. I think the place looks fantastic. People were making fun of it, the way it looked, its exterior and everything else when they opened it up. But it looks like a fantastic ballpark. And, you know, the World Series is going to be there, as I said. But the thing is, they let fans in there. And so there's like, I don't know, 12,000 fans or something at the game. So it's a little different. And it certainly has changed. We haven't seen fans at any games at all in the playoffs. Rick, what do you think of them letting fans in? And do you have any concern at all as to whether or not that's a good or bad idea based on this second wave of this COVID, which is serious business? I mean, people thought it was gone. A lot of, you know.
Yeah, serious business more than you could possibly imagine. 11,500 fans socially distanced. I mean, I'm not any more concerned than the 8,000 fans they let into Nashville tonight for the Titans and the fans they're letting into Philadelphia over the weekend. They're trying as hard as they can to deal with protocols. I'm more concerned with the 18-year-olds who are having maskless parties with, you know, 100 people at a time close to each other. I don't think we're going to have super spreaders at carefully opened ballparks. Now, for those people that are saying, let's open up at full capacity right now, that might be a little too early, especially since we're going in the opposite direction. But listen,
the Gators? They wanted to have 90,000 people at the game, but now their whole team has COVID, and I doubt they're going to play at all. What kind of moron idea was that by DeSantis? That guy is so far in Donald Trump's tuchus, it's not even funny. Watching that guy at his rallies is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And then he says, let's open up every stadium full capacity. What's wrong with that guy? Honestly, is he insane?
Yeah, he's got numbers that say that people won't contract if they open up full. And, you know, people are entitled to their opinion, but that's kind of far out on the other side of it. He's got some people who are very serious around him, but, you know, he's gone far enough by saying Super Bowl is going to be full capacity. It's going to be big business this year. He's trying to open the state up for commerce, and sports is a big deal, and so, you know, it's a really dangerous time. Let me just say that, right? It's
how
a really
did that
dangerous
guy get
time.
That and job? I'm, how did he get that job? Who is he? Where did he come from?
DeSantis?
Yes.
Well, he's a governor. He's a governor. He was a state senator. He ran a pretty decent campaign. He just won, and you know, he's been pretty good at not the rally. Forget the rallies, but he's been pretty good at these updates. And we're gonna see how he handles this crisis, because this crisis coming up in the next 4 or 5 months everywhere is much bigger than anywhere else, any other time in our history. And I'm kind of worried about it. Not just for him, but the governors of Texas and Michigan, and how about Wisconsin? I mean, that state is totally out of control. They got the court system that says you can't regulate even if you want to. Even up here in the Northeast, you know it. I mean, look what's happening in Jersey. You know, look what's happening in New York now in sporadic places. And it's unfortunate. All the bad things that are predicted come true. All the good things, who knows? People are saying the second wave is bigger than we thought.
Yeah, and let me tell you, here's the deal. So in Jersey, they had the highest numbers today.
Right.
Since they said August, but that doesn't scare me. When I start looking at numbers at the worst, I'm thinking, April, May, June, when it was really bad. And then it got better in July, August, and September. And then it came back in October. Now it's back. And then today, the governor, Murphy, he sent out an edict that said all medium to high risk sports can resume activities. So in other words, basketball indoors, football, wrestling, all the medium to high risk, those are all medium to high risk sports. And it makes absolutely no sense to me why would you do it when there's a spike and it's coming back in droves, and then you decide to finally let people play basketball indoors and play football when it's getting bad again? Like, where do they find these people? Like, was that the kid that cheated in school that becomes the governor? I don't understand where they find these people. They're all stupid. I mean, honest to Christ.
Well, they're doing it everywhere, and you can agree or disagree. I'm finding most people are really, really worried about it. And ultimately, it's personal responsibility. And I've had long conversations with a lot of different people about this. You can rail against politicians who are not providing leadership. Just put your damn mask on. That's all, right? I mean, that doesn't solve the problem. But just shut up and put your mask on. And if you don't like it, I'll give you Pharrell's home number.
That's not a really good idea right there. But here is a good idea. The Rays just took a 2-1 lead on the Astros at Petco on a single to left. And then Arozarena scored, and they got the runner at second scored as well. 2-1 now in this great game at Petco. They were down 1-0 the whole game. China's NBA broadcast freeze out thaws. What does that mean?
Well, it means that when Daryl Morey did the tweet a year ago, we thought the world was coming to an end. And now, quietly, I guess that was the way you deal with diplomacy. Wow, great play. Quietly, China has said, all right, you know, ante up. The NBA, by the way, quietly gave $1 million to medical supplies in China. And wouldn't you know it, CCTV covered game 5 and 6 of the NBA Finals on Chinese TV. So we're not back to where we were before, but we're moving in the right direction. And you know that the NBA really, really needs China's TV, needs China's fans, needs China's corporate support. So it's happening. It's not happening as quickly as they wanted to, but it's happening.
All right, so Anthony Davis got the triple crown with the Lakers win.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is one of the only guys who, think about it, an Olympic gold medal, the NCAA, the championship, and while you're at it, how about the NBA championship? And so he's also pretty damn popular, and you know he will be a free agent, and everybody's talking about you're going to leave, you're not going to leave. I saw some articles today about NBA free agents. What happens to the Greek Freak if he doesn't win this next year? Does he come to Miami? Does he go somewhere else? I'm not sure if I like the NBA players deciding amongst themselves how to improve and make their teams work. But that's what free agency is all about. So, you know, kudos to Anthony Davis, and obviously kudos to the Lakers as a Heat fan. They deserved it.
What is this thing Shaq's doing that you're talking about with his trucks or whatever the hell it is?
Well, no. What he's doing is it's a SPAC, which is a like a blind trust. You raise dollars. Disney CFO Tom Staggs is in the middle of it. TikTok CEO Kevin Meyer. So what they do is they're trying to figure out how to raise some money, and then they're going to give some dollars to entertainment. Call it the Shaq SPAC. A SPAC is a particularly kind of a legal term where you raise some dollars and you throw it toward whatever causes you want to. And, you know, Shaq is he's attracting action. He's attracting IPO. He's attracting financing. And Shaq has become a boardroom guy recently. It's good for him.
I have no idea what that was about when I was reading it. I was looking at it, and I'm reading Forest Road. I'm reading acquisition vehicles, all this other stuff. I had no idea what the hell I was reading. College basketball is set to start its workouts. Maui's moving mainland. They're going to play in North Carolina. That's not quite like going to Maui.
Well, listen, if I want to go to the hills and I want to get excited about that stuff, I go to Asheville, maybe. I used to go to Maui. Now I go to Asheville. And so, you know, they're obviously going to move the tournament to November 30, December 2, and the Maui Invitational loses its luster. They're also taking a look at some of the other major events they're doing in Hawaii. And again, one of the unintended consequences of COVID is that Hawaii is not going to have as many different kind of events off the mainland as they used to do. And it's important. It's too bad for them because you know how important tourism is to Hawaii. They try to use sports to generate revenue, and that's just not going to happen until we get back to Earth and back to life.
So the NHL had players from 13 countries that were born in 13 countries selected in the draft. Are they going to be able to get all these players from all over the world to play January 1st when they start playing in the NHL, where the borders still be closed?
Unclear. You know, Belarus 2, Slovakia 2, Great Britain, Latvia, Norway. The fact that all these guys were drafted from various places, obviously Canada 70, U.S. 52, Sweden 32, Russia 24, Finland 16. There's a process to get these guys all down here quickly, so we got that. But some of these other countries, the protocol isn't great. And let's remember, nobody wants to cut us any breaks right now. Nobody's going to let their guys come into our borders and vice versa. And so luckily Gary Bettman says January 1, and that gives us, what, 3 extra months before the season starts. Based on his 22-team playoff, and you know Gary Bettman, you know the NHL, it was an amazing bubble, an amazing two bubbles, and I'm pretty comfortable whatever they announce they're going to do.
And so now college athletes, it looks like today it came up again. They're going to allow these kids to transfer starting in 21.
Yeah, well, and it's not just, and by the way, it happens in a lot of sports today. Now it's 3-1 Rays, as you know. But it also happens in now men's basketball, women's basketball, men's hockey, football. There's this one-time transfer exception that they're going to allow. And because of COVID, if you want to transfer for any reason, you're going to be able to play. And the transfer portal, we predict, is going to have a lot more big names in the future because you don't have to apply for the exemption. Before, you could apply for that exemption. You know, you didn't have to get it. Most people got it granted. But now we think it's just going to be automatic.
So we're going to have Pac-12 and Big Ten football. Of course, the latter is coming first on the 24th.
1 minute. Yeah, and then the Pac-12 comes November 7th. And so without playing a game, Oregon number 12, USC 25, they cracked the top 25. But the bottom line is, what's going to happen after a seven-game schedule? Are we going to have the normal playoff process? We're certainly going to have the bowl games. We have most of the bowls intact. So we're probably going to have a normal season. There was a lot of this discussion, remember, 3 months ago about it all being in the spring. That's not happening. We're going to have all Power Fives in the fall, some more than others, and I guess we can't wait. It'll be good.
So last but not least, real quick, the French Open, Nadal won his 13th French, 20th slam overall. And now they'll come out with a report saying that all 13 of his championships at Roland Garros were fixed. I got 10 seconds.
That's going to be tough. We got some early round fixing investigations, but not Nadal.
Yeah, I think he cheated. I still love him. He's my favorite. All right, Pharrell on a bench. So 3-1 count now. Bases loaded, one out, top of the sixth. The Rays have scored all three runs in this inning. Is this the same pitcher, or did they change pitchers? Okay, so they finally changed pitchers. And now a base hit's going to score two more runs. A little flare into right, a little pop-up off the end of the bat to right is going to score two more. It's 5-1 Rays. 5-1 Rays. They've scored five runs in the sixth inning, and there's runners at second and third and still one out. And they have lit up the Astros bullpen. As I said today on Coast to Coast, Carver High is my witness, that the Astros pitching is terrible. And they don't have Garrett Cole and Justin Verlander anymore, and they basically have no pitching. They really don't. They don't have starters or relief. Their bullpen is imploded tonight. Without a doubt. Now, who was the guy? I'm going to look it up now just so I get this right. I just want to be right about this. Okay, well, who was the guy that being the two runners in a row, the two batters in a row?
Yeah, that was Paredes. Paredes hit both the batter.
You're right. So Paredes hit Adames, and he hit
Kiermaier.
And hit Kiermaier? Yeah, Kiermaier hit.
Kiermaier
first. And then Adames hit by pitch, and Diaz scored. That made it 3-1. Then Renfro doubles to right, and Wendell and Kiermaier score. It's 5-1, and that was off of Rayleigh. So Paredes was disastrous, beans two guys. Rayleigh gives up the hit to make two more runs come in. And, your Quiddy was actually –
This is all Altuve's fault. Altuve threw a double play ball into left field, or else who knows this inning's still even going. This is all on Altuve.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot to mention that little error that cost the game. I forgot to mention him throwing that ball into the seats.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.